Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm the man formerly known as Timbo Slice, and with me, as always, is my buddy, the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D. Before we get started, please remember to like, comment, subscribe, follow us on IG, YouTube, everywhere. You'll see all the links below. Give us a follow, give us a comment. On today's podcast, we talk to an up-and-coming amateur flyweight fighter competing at Epic Fighting 46 on July 23rd in San Diego, California. We discuss the fallout of UFC 264 McGregor-Poirier 3, make a big apology, at least I will, pick our fighters for our weekly fight on site, and a whole lot more. Prince, you ready?
Oh, let's hit it, buddy. Yes, Timmy B,
Prince D, Fight in Sight. On today's guest is a 24-year-old fighter that's been training mixed martial arts since 2016 with world-renowned MMA fight camp Team Quest. With an amateur record of 4-4, tough and tough title challenger, we welcome to the show, Matt Queso Padilla.
What's going on?
Thank you for having me.
Man, welcome, buddy.
Great intro.
Oh man, you know what? I've been trying to, you know, perfect all my MC skills, and you know what? You're actually, your name is like one of the uniquest names I've ever seen, man. So, I'm like, oh wow, wait until I bring this guy up on the show, right? So Matt, welcome to Fight Insight, and you know what? I want you to introduce yourself. Who is Matt Padilla?
Just a 24-year-old guy. Chasing his dream, just doing what I love, and I'm just happy doing it.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy to, you know, you're our first real amateur MMA fighter that we've had on the podcast, so we're excited to have you and talk about what that means as like being an amateur. But before we ask any question, I think we have to ask about your nickname, Queso. And before the podcast, we started and we noticed the shirt that is like the baddest shirt we've ever seen. Quesomania, paying homage to the legend Hulk Hogan. What's the background of the nickname?
When it comes to the nickname, I'm not sure if it was my coach Tom Galicchio or Sam Alvey, kind of disputed in history who made up the nickname, but I feel like it was Sam, and they just wanted to make a play on words of my last name because it sounds like quesadilla with queso padilla, and that's really it. So it was literally just a dad joke that made my nickname. All right.
We've had Sam Alvey. Actually, Sam Alvey was our very first UFC fighter on the podcast.
And I've been following since.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Shout outs. Well, actually, you know what? I did my research, and I was like, man, I got to figure out why does he call himself queso? And so I actually found out that it was actually a dad joke. So you know what? In light of us talking about dad jokes, I actually wanted to share some dad jokes with you guys, if it's okay.
What you got?
So I got some for you. I got some killers, actually. And Sam, if you're watching this, buddy, this is also for you. Why do MMA fighters wear skin-tight shorts?
I'd like to hear why.
Because otherwise they would be boxers.
That's actually not bad.
Oh, that's a good one. That's pretty good.
Who hides in the bathroom at parties?
Who?
Party poopers.
That one just makes sense.
I thought there was going to be an MMA theme to this, but
I tried, guys. I honestly tried.
Dropped off quick.
I could not find anything else. Like, that wasn't the first one, but the last two you guys will love. How do you organize a space party?
Please get this over with quick.
What you got? Planet. All right.
Okay, one last one, and that's it, buddy. Did you know Bruce Lee has an older brother?
What's his name? Suddenly. Oh, my.
All right. Well, Matt, it was nice having you on the podcast. We wish you best in the fight.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. All right. Matt, how did you get involved in fighting? How did that all become your dream and your passion?
I honestly never really had an itch to compete at all. I always wondered what it would be like to get in a fight growing up. Just I wonder what it felt like to actually hit somebody. and that was like the fullest extent. But other than that, I never actually like pursued it or tried to go to a boxing gym. Actually, no, that's a lie. When I was really little, I'd see karate studios and want to go in, but I never actually mentioned it to my parents or anything. But then in high school, like sophomore year, I was just playing video games, and that's like all I was doing back then. And my dad called me down and said that the main event heavyweight championship was on. I was like, oh, all right, I'll watch that. And it was Frank Mir versus JDS.
Wow, nice.
I think I was just really impressed by, like, you know, like it's the little gloves and it just seems like it's supposed to be so much more brutal, but you see JDS showing some clean boxing and I'm just like, oh, that was pretty cool. Call me down for the next one. And then the next main event was Condit versus GSP. And that was like, that was a barn burner. So I was just really into that one. Then the next one, I watched the full main card. And that was a really crazy one. It was Frankie Edgar versus Jose Aldo 1. And that main event is what got me all into it. And I just wanted to get straight into wrestling at my high school.
Nice, nice.
And you know what? That was a part of the reason why I picked Condit. Man, I think I picked all the wrong fighters for that. I think I got all of them wrong. A good thing I didn't make a bet with Chris Rios too, because I would have had his face on my Instagram. But yeah, I mean, Condit and the GSP fight was like one of those big fights where like literally it was like brutal, right? They went at each other, right?
And
I was hoping that was the same Condit that was going to come out during that fight, but yeah, I guess I was wrong.
I was hoping so too.
You know, you see that on TV, you decide to start training, you do it in school. How do you find your way to Team Quest? And I see in the background, you've got your banner and Team Quest logos back there. How did you find your way to Team Quest, and when did you find your way there?
Just because my dad told me about how there was a local legend around who has his own gym. And of course that was Dan. And I didn't realize what extent of a legend he was at the time. Cause I wasn't into the UFC back in Pride and all that. Mm-hmm. So, I think I went for the first time, like after a year of training wrestling in high school. And then like, I just did like a 3-day trial there. And like, I loved doing it. And then I just waited until after high school to really get in there, like all the time. So yeah, it was just because it was local and it happened to be such a good team. It just made perfect sense.
Man, can you imagine how lucky that is, Prince, that you're just some kid that just decides, hey, I want to try it out. Next thing you know, you're training with Dan Henderson.
Yeah.
That's like your coach. Yeah. Like that's crazy.
You're walking in there. That's a crazy part about it too. Is like you're not even knowing who he was. You're like, okay, well, there's this guy that's training me. And later on, you're getting into a fight. You're like, holy crap, your coach is Dan Henderson. Like, oh my gosh, man. Okay, we forfeit. Throw the towel in. We're good.
And I see on, I think it was on SureDog or somewhere, when I was looking up some of your credentials and things, I saw that one site had your head coach listed as Sam Alvey. Mm-hmm. So Sam has played a big role in your training as well?
Sam's played the biggest role for all the amateurs, I would say. He's been like the head coach for every amateur guy coming up.
Oh, absolutely. Wow.
He's going out of his way to corner like every weekend back before COVID, you know? Like that guy really goes above and beyond to help out the amateurs.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, when we met him, it was crazy because we're just like, okay, is he really going to be like how he appears on TV or on interviews? And he really was, man, like just the nicest guy.
So what you see is what you get with Sam. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I'm sure a lot more though. Because
oh, well. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, Sam was actually when Sam came on, we had, I guess we got the times mixed up. And we're like, oh man, we're like, I don't know if it's gonna happen. And then when he came, literally, it was like Christmas morning. It was like the best feeling when he showed up too, and he came with that energy. My heart was racing. I think Tim, your heart was racing too. You're like, oh my goodness,
yeah.
It was an amazing, amazing experience. And you know what? I saw one of your fights too, Matt, and I saw, you know, Sam Alvey coming in there, and you guys get into the corner, and man, he could tell he really, you know, he really wants you to do well. There, I guess at one point, I guess you're hyperventilating, you're breathing hard, and I guess you guys just went out of a scrap because it went through the first round, and you got to sit down in your corner, and he's like, okay, you got calm down. You got
that's how he starts it every time. Even if you're having your first amateur practice and you're sparring for the first time, he'll come up to you real quick and tell you two deep breaths to start that minute rest, and then we can start talking.
Okay, okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, cool, that's for every round.
So, Matt, you're an amateur fighter, and last week we had someone on who's making their pro debut come this weekend. Mm-hmm. So can you explain to people, like, at what point do you decide that you no longer want to be amateur and turn pro? Like, what's that process like?
Well, I mean, Sam wants me to start turning pro pretty soon. Okay. He was even offering me maybe after this one to go pro. And then I was just telling him I just want to be more consistent with the higher end, because I fought like pretty decent guys, but now I want to fight those better guys at amateur. Like, the last guy I fought was the number one flyweight in the country, 11-1 at the time, for the Tough Enough title.
Okay.
And I didn't win, but I rocked the guy and I found out where I'm at, you know, and I went to a decision. I didn't get beat up or anything. And I was just like, oh, I could compete with these guys. And then I know what I do in pro class. Like, I train with the pro team all the time. My teammate David Lopez was the number one on the West Coast for flyweights. And, like, I know I'm there. I know I'm almost ready. I just want to stack up some belts and just get some good wins under me, some, like, real good fights, and then make that transition.
Wow. So how many amateur fighters are under Team Quest?
I mean, we just had some tryouts recently. I mean, we have a lot, honestly. It's like probably 20 or more.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. That's a lot. And so there is a difference then when you're doing the training, they'll split it up between the amateurs practice and the pro practice?
Yeah. I mean, amateur is just for the guys that are way more green when it comes to everything. Okay. And then pro is for, like, you know how to spar, you know how to throw your combos, you know how to wrestle. Even if you're more of a specialist at one thing, they'll still put you in there as long as you know how to, like, spar and not be spazzy and do something stupid and hurt people.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And then, so, I mean, one of the benefits of training at Team Quest, and we've had some guests on that train at some great gyms, but we've never had anyone from Team Quest. It must be really beneficial to you. And again, like, for you just randomly going in there and getting to a gym like this, that must be attracting people from all over the world. Like, you must be getting, like, high level people. So your training partners must always be top notch.
Yeah. I mean, we always get people coming in and out of the door too. We got, like, a bunch of people from 10th Planet Oceanside, like Lee Malay McFarlane would come by a couple times. And we had Moreno. I trained with him once. I wasn't able to be there the whole week because he was there for a week, but I got to be one-on-one with him during pro for the boxing pro class.
That's really cool.
Real humble dude.
Yeah, that's nice. That's awesome. You're saying Moreno, right?
Brandon Moreno, yeah.
Did you build any Lego with him or anything?
Unfortunately not.
No? God dang, that's the first thing I'd want to do with that guy.
Tim's like, I don't want to train at all. Just bring out your Lego set and let's make this happen.
Yeah, four rounds, X-wing or something.
That's right. Four rounds of straight making X-wings and Star Wars and all that stuff. But you guys have seen his collection. It's like out of this world, right? And now with, like, this big win, now he's a champ. He probably has a whole house of that stuff.
Yeah, doesn't have to stay away from the more expensive Lego sets now. Now he can afford all the big ones.
Oh yeah, he can get whatever he wants now.
Yeah. So, Matt, you're fighting at Epic 46. Epic Fighting 46 is in San Diego, California, on July 23rd. For people that haven't seen you fight before, what can they expect when they go in and watch a Matt Queso Padilla fight?
A lot of technique. I'm a pretty technical guy in the cage, you know. I like to pick my shots and be clean. And if I wrestle, then I'm going to be strong on top. Honestly, if he's at my level with the wrestling, it's going to be a lot of scrambles probably. And who doesn't love that? It's fun when the grappling actually looks good in the fight and you just see guys scrambling like lizards. Yeah. With the striking, I'm always ready for whatever.
Yeah, a couple of the fights that I watched with you, your striking was very crisp and clean. Like, I was like, whoa, this guy's like deadly. What do you prefer if you had to choose how you were going to finish the fight? What's your Would you rather finish it as a sub or a KO, TKO? What do you like?
I think it was good that the first couple people I saw were Aldo and GSP, because I think it's just the path of least resistance, you know, that kind of molded it into me. Like, you don't have to just do one thing, just do whatever feels right in the moment and whatever that guy's not as good at as you, you know? But I do love kickboxing.
Nice, nice.
So wait, so Matt, you're not going to go in there and just gas out?
Hell no.
It's probably not his plan, Prince. I don't know.
No, Matt, you should have said, like, what do you mean gas out? That word doesn't belong in my vocabulary. There is no gas.
It really doesn't.
They just run out of time. That's it.
Pretty much, honestly. I mean, I could be out of the gym for a while for whatever reason, like during COVID, during lockdown, I was out for a little, and then I came back and straight into pro sparring, and I went all 5 rounds good, no break. And then Sam actually said, wow, you should take a couple months off more often. Yeah, I think just that's a refresh. Just Mexican genes. Cardio in me.
But that's the thing, right? With the flyweight division, and I mean, for everybody watching, they probably know, but that's the 125-pound division. If that's the big thing about it, right? The flyweights, you have to have massive cardio, because when we watch flyweights, that's what we see and that's what the fans come to expect. So, and you're saying it's in your genes, but has that been something that you've had to really work on, knowing that your opponents are probably got, you know, crazy cardio?
Yeah, but I don't really go out of my way to make it like, I got to run 40 miles and this and that. I honestly just train more for the performance when it comes to, like, my cardio will be more bag work or mitts or Muay Thai class. Just make sure that it's going to be conjunctive to the actual thing that I'm going to do. I feel like doing specifically something specific for a different sport might not help you as much. I think if I'm throwing 1,000 punches, then I'm not going to get tired with throwing punches.
Nice, thanks.
So, Matt, your fighting style is more like go with the flow. Like, whatever happens, whatever situation I get in there, you're just gonna, you know, throw whatever your tool belt at this person.
Yeah, I've never once thought about how the fight's gonna end. It just ends up happening, you know.
Kind of like a if you imagine like a river of queso cheese.
Exactly.
Wherever it goes. Yes, all right.
Not very. That probably wouldn't flow very well, like pretty slow, sluggish.
Yeah, sluggish and slow, but yeah, all right. Well, I mean, the imagery was there.
But it's better when you see it in person.
Hey, yeah. Matt, but the only thing you're missing right now, I mean, you've got the personality, you've got the persona. All you're missing now is tattoos. I think you should just get like a massive Kessel tattoo right on your neck, like Kessel or die. Right
Kessel there. Or die. That's not bad. Maybe I'll leave that for the super fans one day.
Nice, yeah. Right next to a good tattoo of your face on their leg, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what you want people to do.
That'd be really great.
That we asked fans for questions as we do on our Instagram. And so we got some fan questions that we're going to ask you, all right?
All right.
Now, I think it was a result of when we were posting on Instagram, we kept finding music songs that had the word queso in them. But this person, Gina Sin, asked, what is your chosen walkout music?
It's usually different all the time, but the only one that I've really re-chose was When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin. That's one of my favorite songs. But
nice.
I've walked out to Biggie, I've walked out to Tupac, I've walked out to some Wu-Tang, so it mixes up.
Nice, nice. All right, cool.
Wu-Tang's probably the one that I like picking the most.
All right. I feel like this one might be a shot at us, but I'm still going to do it. DL_Ratana asks, if I would have told you that you'd be on the Fight Insight podcast, would you have ever believed me?
That's my teammate David Lopez, who I was saying. He was the number one on the West Coast. Yes, oh, David, nice. I would have yeah. Believed that. Thank you.
All right, there you go. This guy, I don't know if you know this guy. I feel like a lot of your friends wrote in here, but they were good questions. But I'm going to take two of Smilin' Sam's questions.
I'm sure they're not relevant at all.
I don't even know. I'm thinking there's a backstory. Smiling Sam asks, how many wives are too many wives?
Two or more.
All right. Is there a reason for that question? Is this
stay loyal? The queso stays loyal.
Oh, all right. All right. Cool. Second question that Smiling Sam asks, I've heard that you're really good at math. What is the 36th integer of pi?
I'm not good at math.
All right. Well, Smiling Sam, thank you for the questions.
Guys, you know what? Why do I feel like Sam's like in the background giggling? He's like, in the back end doing one of these, like, right?
Sam can't have a serious moment.
And then Rich Abadong asks, what is your favorite cheese?
Cheddar. It's pretty simple, but I love cheddar.
You know why, though, right? Nice, you know why, though, Matt? Because you get that cheddar. That's right.
All right. So, Matt, before we go on to the next stuff, yeah, again, we're so happy to have you here again at Epic 46. Where can people find you on social media? And is there anything that you want to end off by saying?
On Instagram, you can find me at MattPadillo125. That's really the only place I promote myself. I like Instagram. Twitter is more just for the memes.
And okay.
That's really it. Go ahead and check my ticket link in the bio for my Instagram. And just be ready to watch a war. I'm so excited. I'm really excited for this fight.
That's awesome, man. It's so exciting. When will you leave to go out to San Diego? Like, is it far to get there or for you, or do you stay home until then?
It's probably like an hour. So I'll just leave day of, and weight shouldn't be an issue since I'm a flyweight fighting at bantamweight this time. It'll be easy for me.
Ah, okay. Nice. Well, man, congrats, buddy.
Have you ever checked your weight yet, though? Yet? Like, you know, right where you're yeah, where you're weighing at now?
I'm about 145 right now, so it'll be easy. I can still make flyweight. I can make flyweight next week if I want.
So you can have a Big Mac like after this podcast and be okay with it?
Shit, I'll have a Big Mac on the scale. I'll be fine.
Jeez! Nice. Like the confidence, man. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on and talk about some things. You know, on the weekend we had UFC 264. So we want to talk about some UFC 264 reactions and some of the fights that happened and like what occurred. The first one is, I really feel like I have to give a huge apology. I feel like the world has to give apology to this guy, Chris Moutinho. I'm just showing a screen here. There's this website, MMA_gains, that shows how many followers these people gain after their fights. So Chris went from 4,300 to 100,000. And this is at the time that I looked. So goodness knows what it is now.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, that kid, man. What did you think about that, Matt?
I thought that was the best thing that could have happened for him outside of a win, of course. You know, he really got to open his chest up to the whole world and show his heart on full display. I mean, I don't know how good that is for longevity. If I was in the corner, I would have probably thrown in the towel. But honestly, that guy got to show off what he's all about. The company's going to love him. The fans are going to love him. And I mean, he got a fat check with that bonus. So I think that was the best option that could have happened for him outside of a win.
Yeah, for sure, man. 75, and that was the increased fight performance of the night bonuses too. So it was 75,000 instead of the 50. I mean, who knows what that guy was going to be making, right? Like 5 and 5, maybe.
I think the regular is 12 and 12 right now.
Oh, is it 12 and 12? Okay. Yeah. So I mean, but then to get the 75 on top, holy moly!
Short notice, you know, and then you get that. Not bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure, if he was fighting, I think he was supposed to fight at CFFC before. And then it got, obviously, he took that fight instead. I'm sure that would have been like 1 and 1 or something.
The man had 10 days to prepare for that fight. Like, come on, unheard of, man.
Yeah. And so, Matt, you're saying you think that the corner probably should have thrown in the towel?
Yeah. I mean, you don't see that kind of beating in boxing or anything, you know? I mean, they're two different worlds, but just seeing how many punches he was taking, that's like the kind of punishment guys take when they're like, they end up having serious injuries, or like you could get hospitalized really bad off of something like that, you know?
Yeah. Prince, what did you think about that one?
Well, listen, I have no apologies to make because I picked Chris. I had my money on him. Everybody's like, Prince, oh my gosh, it's the Sean Kirkland version, Sean Wishlist version of Sean O'Malley. But no, I honestly, he went out there and he actually, honestly, to tell you the truth, I was more excited for that fight because me and Chris Rios watched Rios our podcast with him, and we had a bet going that like if Sean O'Malley lost, then Chris Rios would have a picture of me on his Instagram for a whole week. And so I was like, come on, make it happen. But yeah, honestly, to tell you the truth, watching that fight, he put all his heart into it, man. Like, he really went out there and he did not stop and not quit. And just before when he was signing all the posters, he was saying, you know, I can't guarantee a victory, but he did guarantee us a show. And he did put on a show, and man, like, he didn't get the dub, but he got the respect. Like, you should see his Instagram, Facebook, everything is lighting up. Like, everybody wants to see this kid fight again. So he right after that fight, he on the Monday, I guess he was teaching a Monday class that he was, you know, a part of. Like, you know, you could see him all bruised up, but he's still in there teaching, right? So usually fighters take some days off, but no, he's like back at it again, back at the grind, right? So.
That said, his face didn't look that bad. Like, I get it. There's a lot of damage behind the scenes, but I mean, he wasn't as bruised up as what I thought.
The day after, he didn't look that bad.
I don't know. Well, it was 2 days after I saw the photo, but still, like, still pretty good. I will say, I think his fight, he seemed to be like holding his energy back for that third round. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, Prince. I think I'm getting feedback from your earphones. Might be a little bit loud on your headphone. Yeah. So he seemed to be like holding his energy back. And in that third round, I feel like he was like kind of picking it up. And I know that online there was a lot of comments. They were like, well, maybe that wasn't the right time for the stoppage, because even when he stepped in to stop it, he was in the middle of throwing a right cross. And he was kind of pushing the pressure a little bit in the third. I mean, could you imagine if he came in and got that win? Holy moly.
I can't blame Herb for the stoppage, but I can blame the corner. But I really think that this, I could have been okay with seeing the rest of the fight go. It was like, what, 20, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it's not the corner, then it shouldn't be the ref at the last 30 seconds.
You see all the reaction. Like, a lot of the fighters were just like, oh, man, Herb, you should just let him finish the fight. Let him finish the fight, right? And even he was like, oh, come on, like, just give it to me, right? And no, you're right, Tim. I felt like there was like a last minute surge of energy. I felt like he was just unleashed the dragon in there, right? So I don't know, maybe he turned like Super Saiyan 3 or something and just like turn his hair blonde and just go at this guy. But I mean, you're right. But man, you know what? You make a good point. It's just, you got to protect the fighters, right? And you've seen these incidences where literally fighters, you know, get injured, or, you know, end up in the hospital and like have permanent damage to them, right? So it's Herb's call, and that's the job of the refs. It's a tough call, but you know, you got to protect the fighters. That's number one.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think at that point, it's the corner's decision more than the ref. If it's 30 seconds left and you're already watching this kid get pummeled.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I didn't see who his corner was. I didn't recognize if it was like a big name or anything like that. I mean, who knows who this kid came in with on 10 days notice? The corner might have been had some octagon jitters. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And the fact
especially
that he was
on a McGregor card, you know,
on the McGregor card. This is why I apologize, Chris. I am so sorry. But like, that's why I gave him no chance. Because I'm like, he's on the McGregor card, the lights, the spectacle in Vegas. Like, it was going to be too crazy. But he was coming back in that third round. I really felt like he was kind of pushing the pace. Have you ever had an issue with a ref, Matt? Like, has a ref ever been an issue in any of your fights?
I think it was actually Mark Smith twice, of all people. That bald guy who was a air fighter or whatever, he was on the Joe Rogan podcast talking about it. It's actually really cool on the podcast, but he's like super stern in the cage, and it was kind of annoying. Like, I just got this guy's back and he's like, let's work. I'm like, what the hell do you think I'm doing? I just got his back.
when they say that, do you say that back, or are you trying to like just focus and not like get punched? You know what I mean?
In between rounds, I think I usually say something if the ref kind of annoys me, but like they'll usually come up to me and say something. I'm like, what are you talking about? Leave me alone. And then, but like in the fight, I'm just focused on what's right in front of me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, how much pressure does that give you though? Like when the ref does say that, does it freak you out that you're like, oh crap, I got to do something. And then at which point you might rush into something you might not have done before?
Not necessarily rush, but I feel like you just feel like yourself and your opponent both kind of jolt and like, they're like, oh, I gotta do something.
Like, okay. Well, at least like the opponent too.
When you're getting tired doing a workout and then you just hear somebody tell you what to do real quick and you kind of get that little jolt.
Yeah. That little bit of that little push.
And let me ask you guys a question. Like can you remember the last time you saw a fight where the corner actually stopped it? But someone's corner actually said, throw the towel in. We're like, hey, it's done. We can't continue.
That's a good question. I don't think. Not in
MMA. I can't remember, man.
Yeah. That's what I'm like.
Boxing all the time, but yeah,
that's it, right? MMA.
Yeah. Not really. All right. Next fight I do want to talk about. And this was the one that I was like jumping up screaming was the Tai Tuivasa knockout. Now, I'm not going to lie, I was already standing up singing Spice Girls while he was walking in. Were either of you singing along with the Spice Girls song?
Mentally.
No, okay, all right. That's good enough.
Low key. I was humming to it.
Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty awesome walk.
Brave enough to admit it.
Yeah. What did you think about that knockout? Happy with that? Good knockout?
Yeah, it was a great knockout. It showed how dangerous Hardy really is since he was able to rock Tuivasa for a second, but then it showed how much experience Tuivasa had being able to still catch him while he's hurt.
Yeah. Planted his feet and took that shot, right? He knew what he was doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you know what, for me, guys, actually, you know what, my take on the fight, I actually was more surprised about the shoey. I went in there and just grabbed everyone. Someone like, whose shoe was that?
Like, he did literally like five in a row.
He did five in a row, and he actually grabbed some from the crowd. I'm like, I was like, yeah, no, whoa, what are you doing, man? Like, COVID, man. Like, come on, let's get it together.
They need to distribute his blood as a vaccine. I think that guy probably just does not get sick anymore.
Yeah. I mean, however many shoeys you've taken around the world, right? That guy has like the best immune system on the planet.
That guy's collected shoe germs everywhere.
Literally, I was like, I watched the knockout and then after that, I was like, whoa, that was crazy. Well, actually the knockout in itself, like I honestly thought it was game over. I thought Hardy was going to clip him and just finish him off. And I'm like, out of nowhere, again, like we were just talking about those phantom punches that just come out of nowhere. And it was reaction too, when he just went in there and just swung over and boom, clipped Hardy and he dropped him. I was surprised as well. Like that was actually a really exciting knockout. But again, honestly, it's just the shoey. I had to Google the thing. And I was going to try it with one of my shoes, but I'm like, nah.
Nah, not worth it.
Not worth it, man. The explosive diarrhea that you'll have after, but was it good?
So no shoey with the queso win on July 23rd? No,
definitely not. Unless it's a brand new shoe and I watch you buy it.
You want to see it being made and then take it, right? Yeah.
It's like factory close. New. I need to see it.
And for Matt,
the plastic.
And for Matt, it's like grade A cheddar cheese, grade A top notch.
That's right.
Going all the way in. That's it.
Exactly. What about the co-main event? We saw Burns defeat Wonderboy Thompson. Puts that division in a weird spot because Burns just lost the title shot anyways. We were talking before last podcast saying Wonderboy was the only guy with wins over the top five welterweights. So a third win for him might have set him up for a title shot. With Burns winning it, we don't know what happens now. They've just announced that Colby is going to be fighting Usman. I think it's September or so, they're saying. Mm-hmm. So where do you think Burns goes from here? Who does Burns fight next?
Man, that is a really tough one, especially since he made me lose $20. But, yeah, I really wanted to see Wonder Boy get another shot at the title, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, just isn't for everybody to get that second chance.
Third chance.
Yeah. It's really hard to figure out what we're going to do with Burns then, but I feel like Masvidal would make a lot of sense, just considering he came off a pretty bad loss and he's still good everywhere, you know.
Yep. Prince, what do you got for him? What do you got for Burns?
Well, you know, I didn't lose $20, but I, you know, again, on the podcast live on millions and millions of people saw me pick Wonder Boy. And I thought it was going to be the Night of Legends. Matt, I thought it was going to be a Night of Legends. I thought Conor just going to win the fight. I thought Wonder Boy was going to win the fight. I'm like, guys, don't sleep on these guys. They still got it. And, you know, Wonder Boy, he's in there just to chase glory. Like, he's not in there for like the money or anything like that. He wants the belt. Like, he wants to be a champion. And I really was hoping he was going to take it. And we're watching UFC Embedded, and you see the training regimen, him and his dad, like, they've got a game plan, and it just didn't happen, right? But I mean, again, another amazing fighter, another humble fighter as well. Very, you know, humble at defeat, and said, you know, thanks for giving me a shot. It would be nice to see Masvidal and actually Burns go at it, because that would be an amazing fight. Like, they would stand up. I think it would be a straight stand up. They'd be going for rounds, and it'd be a rock'em sock'em too, right? So it'd be something entertaining. So I think that would be a good matchup. What do you think, Tim?
Sorry, Matt, were you gonna say something?
I was gonna say, if not that, then it would make sense to bring somebody that's gonna be pretty deserving of a top spot, right? So I think if Chiesa beats Luque, his teammate, then that would be a great fight, especially since Chiesa is a grappler.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone that could match him on the ground potentially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm, but like you said, Chiesa's already got that matchup. And then I don't know how long Burns would want to wait. I think he'd want to try and ride this high, maybe. I don't know. I've been seeing, like, they think Leon Edwards potentially for a fight, which, yep, that might be good. The Masvidal one is good too. No disrespect. I mean, who are we kidding? Masvidal's never going to see this. He's never coming on this podcast. But I feel like Masvidal is an easier win for Burns. And I feel like that's a high profile fight. So Burns should be itching to take that fight. Masvidal is going to want that fight because he's going to want the smoke, right? He's going to want that, like, to get a win over Burns, because I would shoot him right back up the rankings. Mm-hmm. But for Burns, you got to think, like, he may be thinking, hey, this is my least risky fight of all the other guys, let me take him. So, and that's a good money fight for Burns too. Yeah, I think that's going to be a high.
And Masvidal is older now. I don't think he's thinking of trying to rebuild. I think he's shooting straight for that number one guy. And then if I could take that guy out, I'm right back that's in right. the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got to take the path, like the quickest path to that title shot. So he's going to take whatever, you know, whatever big high profile fight. So
yeah.
Matt, many, many moons ago, we had a podcast with our buddy, Dr. Jim, and he talked to us all about calf kicks following the Conor Poirier 2 fight. So there's Conor saying that he should have watched our podcast. Man, never would see this coming. Conor breaks his tibia at the end of the first round. How did you see the fight going, Matt? Were you expecting Dustin to win it anyways? And then what did you think of that first round?
I was expecting Dustin to win. I think especially considering Conor just got knocked out by him, that it didn't really make a lot of sense to go straight back to this fight.
Yep.
I thought maybe another kind of cowboy fight, you know, something like that. And then go back to just wait for Oliveira and Poirier to do their thing, you know?
Yeah.
But he went with this. I was still expecting Dustin to win. I think if it kept going, he would have won with a TKO. But, you know, it is what it is. Pretty unfortunate, though.
I think the scorecard was like 10-8, right? It was 10-8.
It was 10-8 on two 10-8s and one 10-9. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, watching the Conor fans after on Instagram say, Conor had that round. I'm like, what? What fight were you watching? Like, he was getting murdered. My wife was like stopping watching. She's like, it's too disgusting. Like, the elbows were raining down. She's like, no, it's over. Like, she was already turning away. She was packing it up. Yeah, Prince, what did you have on that one?
If anyone
like in terms of what you saw, what were you thinking?
If anyone was watching that fight and thought that Conor was winning, I wonder how many shoeies did they had that night, like probably five or eight. But you know what, watching that fight, actually, when I saw it, I was trying to figure out where the break happened. Like, where did it actually occur? And everyone was saying it was a check kick, but actually, looking back in Joe Rogan's analysis, you can actually see where the break happened, where Conor actually went in for a teep and Dustin actually blocking with his elbow. And that's where you see that break. And then as soon as he leaned back and then threw his left hand and then went back to land on his ankle again, bam, that's where the break happened, right? So again, that fight, like Dustin had it. Like I was saying in the last podcast, guys, go watch last podcast. Dustin, it's like playing a Rubik's Cube. Dustin's figured out the Rubik's Cube that is Conor. He's like, okay, I figured this out. Like, I know your MO. I know what you bring into the table. I know what you're going to do. I got you figured out. And he had him figured out too.
Yeah. What do you think about the attitude that he displayed after the fact, Matt? I am, you know, you seem like a real dirty trash talker. What's
not really, of course. But I was kind of surprised that he went that hostile, honestly. I wasn't really expecting that. I thought he would just, you know, it's like, my leg's broken, I'm gonna go ahead and put that persona aside for a second.
Yeah, just give me a second. Yeah,
but he just stayed pissed off the whole time. He did seem like pretty passionate leading up to the fight. Like, I felt like some of the old Conor, although some of it did feel forced, but I did think he was kind of talking more like he was excited to be back. You know, he did the McGregor strut back in the cage. He looked he's doing the money. Like, he looked all excited for it. So I think he was really in it mentally. And that's probably why he was so pissed off that he didn't get a fair shake.
Yeah. I mean, that the behavior though is very disturbing. Like, it's too much. Like, it's to the point, like you said, man, like it's almost forced, but it's just really like unbecoming. Like, it's just not good. And,
yeah, talking about in your sleep and
yeah, right. Like, it's too much. And Habib has been going off on like a motivational rant, and like everywhere you look now, you see motivational quotes about him talking about it. And it's like, it's hard now not to believe. But here's one I'm just going to put up from Haymakers, where Habib says, "If the MMA community is going to support this bad people," there's his accent, "this sport is going to go in a bad way." And you know, like, you do have to think, right? Like, with the UFC showing those clips, and you know they're going to play those clips over and over, it's almost like at some point, don't you want to kind of hide that? Like, you don't really want that image coming out of your superstar. Like, it's a little bit aggressive. Prince, what do you think about it?
Honestly, like, I was surprised. I thought he was going to be, you know, he was going to be humble in defeat and say, okay, my head down. Okay, yeah, you know what? We'll try it again. But man, he was like throwing threats at him. I'm going to kill you in your sleep. And
your wife.
And then, yeah, he's taking shots at the wife. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you lost already. Like, just leave. Like, it. And man, like, he was taking it way too far. You watch all the threads, you all the communities that are out there, they're just saying like, wow, what's happened to Conor? And that's, you know what, the thing is, okay, he's coming back. He's tried the good guy.
The nice guy.
Hey, you know, you're my buddy. We're going to be all right. We're going to do it together. Yeah. But you know what? I guess that wasn't selling any seats or selling anything, right? So, you know, come old Conor, calling him out, talking about his family and all this, and I was going to do your wife, and I'm like, unreal. So I mean, he built his whole empire on it. So he needs to go back to that old formula. But then again, everyone's kind of getting tired of it, right? Like, I can tell you guys, you're like, man, we're kind of done. We kind of want the.
It's just too much. There's a line, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, he's threatening his life. It's not really like, I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to kill you in your sleep.
Yeah. And like, and that's what, and if you saw Dustin in the post fight interviews, they were saying like, you know, what is the thing squashed? Are you okay? And Dustin kept saying like, no, like, he's saying things that are too much. He's saying he's going to kill me. Like, he's like, those are things you don't say. And Dustin really seemed offended by that. And he didn't like it. I'm going to ask you both a quick question. Yes or no answer. Is there any way in hell that Jolie Poirier DM'd Conor McGregor, Matt?
No, I don't think so.
Prince?
Hell nah.
Yeah, I don't understand why people even have a question about this. Like, I don't get, again, Conor McGregor fans are like, oh, she messaged him, she blah, blah. I'm like, there's no way. We might have lost Matt there for a second. The other question I'll say is, Prince, is there any way that they do a Conor Poirier 4 immediately? Like, does Poirier now wait for a Conor 4, or does he take the title shot?
I heard it's already under the works. Like, Dana's already trying to cook the fight number 4 to happen. But, man, if I was Dustin, I would just, like...
Look how fast I could get back. Right?
That's that flyweight cardio right there.
Just, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, the last question I'm just asking is, does Poirier now wait for Conor 4, or does he take the title shot?
No, he already got his money. I don't think even a fourth fight with Conor is going to produce as much money. You know, he just got knocked out, and then he just lost again, even if it's in a freak way. I mean, he would pull the same amount of money. You already got your paycheck. Go for that belt.
Go for the belt.
Cement yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. You got to get that belt and take that belt. And then if Conor wants to fight you while you defend the title, that to him, he would think that that's easy pickings. So I might as well get an easy defense out of my title.
Easy title defense, good payday while you're wrapping up your career. Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Before we move on to our last thing, Prince, I do want to mention there are fights this weekend. The only fight I care about talking about is this one, baby. The return of Misha Tate. Oh my goodness, Matt, I can see you are super excited for this one. Misha Tate returns after her last win was in 2016 when she won the title in what I say is one of the greatest title wins ever. She's on a 2-fight losing skid, though. Both fights of those were in 2016 as well. Of course, the one to Nunes, where she lost the title and then lost to Raquel Pennington, who we did have on this podcast. So hello, Rocky. And she is fighting Marion Renault, who is 9-7. She's on a 4-fight losing skid. She's announced that this is her retirement fight. And her last win was in February of 2018. The return of Misha Tate. Very exciting, Matt. Are you excited for her return, and is she going to be a threat in the division?
I just didn't recognize her off that picture. If you saw my face during that,
I was like, "What the hell is that?" She's looking jacked though, man. She's looking better than she's ever looked. I will say that.
Matt's like, "Is that Rhonda? Who is that?"
I could not tell from that picture at all.
There you
could
go.
Could have put her with the belt or something. Not throwing a medicine ball.
No, because I'm showing the new Misha Tate, the new, you know, the new, reinvented, rebuilt.
I don't think she was ever like really washed up or one foot out the door, like ready for retirement. I think she broke her nose bad in the Amanda Nunes fight, and then she came back too soon, and then got her nose broken again in that Raquel Pennington fight. Same thing with Rory of McDonald when he fought Lawler in the rematch, and then he came back too soon to fight Stephen Thompson and his nose re-broke. That's always a common problem when people break their noses. It just re-breaks again and it's way worse. You got to take time.
Rory looked like Marilyn Manson after that fight. You guys remember that? I was like, my gosh, it was brutal.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you see big things for her again? You think she's going to come back and make a run?
I think she's still at the same level as long as her nose is healed, and it should be after all this time, you know. I think she could still compete. Looks like she's training hard, so I'm sure she could make a run.
Yeah. I don't think she's doing this for money. Like, I don't think she's doing this because she needs it. She's the vice president of 1FC or whatever. She's over there.
Something like that.
You know, so she's making good money. She's doing good things. She's got her family and stuff like that. Prince, what do you got?
You know what? I think, well, you know what? We keep hearing Tim's like the biggest Misha Tate fan in the world. Like, Tim, I'm going to promise you that I'm going to have her on this podcast and surprise you. Tim's like,
that'll be the last podcast, man. I'm quitting after that. It's done.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I'm actually curious in what Misha is going to bring into the table. Like, I wonder if she's got brand new skills. You know, I wonder if she's revamped her whole portfolio in terms of what she's going to come at the fighter with. You know, maybe she's worked on her stand up. Maybe she's working on her ground game. I'm really curious into what she's going to bring this time, and maybe she'll shock the division and see what happens. Yeah. Right. So
I think the company needs her a lot more at this point. I mean, when you look at the both divisions that Amanda holds the belt at, who really holds a candle to her at all at this point?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take a bit for Tate to get back there. I wouldn't want her to rush it. What I am calling for is I think Tate wins this fight. Gets back in there, gets the win under her belt. I think Rocky takes her fight. She's fighting Pani Kianzad next month. I think they both win, and then they set up that rematch. And that's a great fight for both girls. Both are, you know, Raquel's a title challenger. Misha's a former title holder. I think that's a great rematch. It's got a good story there. And both those girls are looking for that upward climb. So that's what I'm hoping for. But we'll see what happens this weekend.
I think if Juliana Pena is fighting for the belt right now, then Misha really only needs one win, and she's already getting a title shot.
No, but we can't rush it, Matt. We can't rush it because you don't want to rush into a fight against Nunes.
Yeah, right? The company needs her though. I think they're gonna try to offer that immediately. Honestly,
yeah.
If she does look impressive, they're gonna strike while the iron's hot, probably.
Because you couldn't afford for her to lose the next one and then have to work her way back up. So you're right. If she does a crazy impressive win, then that may just shoot her right back up.
Yeah. The former title. If she just gets that title shot right away, I'll pray for you as a Misha fan and hope she doesn't get beat up.
For all the millions and millions of us, Matt, that are going to be cheering for her. You know who's going to be cheering the most is the guy that owns ONE FC, because he's going to want his vice president to have UFC title. That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah. All right. So, Prince, before we move on to other stuff, I did just want to say a few things. One is that, again, guys, that if you've watched last week's podcast, we had Chris Wartime Rios on. He fights this weekend. So if you're watching this on the Friday when it releases, he's fighting tomorrow on the Saturday. Please go, support him, give him some love. The other thing, Prince, we do have something coming out soon that we are hoping to be able to talk about. We're working on some stuff. And I just want to tell people we're looking to grow. So stay tuned. We're hoping for some big things.
It's a very big things.
Very big things. We're hoping. So we're hoping. So I'm just putting that out into the universe so that it comes true. We're looking for some big things. We also have our shirts for sale. If you guys want some shirts, we also have tank tops now too. We will start being a little bit more aggressive with promoting this, I think, Prince, and get some orders in, and then we'll do an actual order. So if you want a shirt or a tank top, reach out to us. And then Prince, if you can just let them know where they can reach us.
Okay, guys, you can follow us at, first of all, you guys subscribe at YouTube, Fight Inside Podcast. You can follow us at Instagram, Fight Inside Podcast as well. And you can listen to us at Fight Inside Podcast at Spotify. Okay. Those are the three things. And actually, we are on Snapchat, TikTok, and Facebook as well. We're making it happen, Matt. We're making this company's growing as well. All right.
Matt already said he has his Instagram. He likes to focus on one thing. Matt, we like to do a very poor job across every platform. That way we get more, but it's very poor. So that's what we do. Prince, you mentioned our Gmail, our email account is fightinsightpod@gmail.com. That's if you want to be a guest, if you have someone that you want to be on a guest, if you have any questions, let us know, feedback, whatever. I will say, Prince, someone asked me to be a guest on a podcast, and I was like, yeah, okay, cool. You know, I'll come and promote Fight Insight, and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Cool. And then the guy goes, yeah, so it's $150 to be a guest on my podcast.
What?
And I was like, what? I was like, Who's going to pay you to be the guest on your podcast? But I mean, I didn't even know that was a thing, but that was pretty shocking, man. So if you would like to be a guest on our podcast, we will not charge you money. Matt, I'm still charging you the agreed upon amount, Matt, but that's fine.
That's fair. Yeah, I already signed on.
All we ask for is good Wi-Fi. That's it. And a bright smile. And Matt's got it all. There you go, buddy.
Learn from the best.
Learn from the best.
That's right. Hey, Does Sam ever ask you to shave the smile into your head before you fight? Has he ever asked you?
No, nobody yet. He does come up with certain things with certain people, like if it goes with the nickname, he wants you to do something, but it's more like just jokes. But they called me, he tried calling me Armadillo at first, and he said I had to roll into the cage for every fight.
Wait, so you would be Matt Armadillo Padilla?
Yeah, I had a couple of different ones. Killa, Armadillo, Young Guns. Yeah, but Queso was the best one.
Nice.
Okay, Matt, listen, man. I reached out to you and I go, hey, man, this guy must... I think this guy's Filipino. He has to be Filipino. And I'm like, I go, that probably does his nickname. It's because when we say cheese, we say Queso, right? Mm. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's it. And then, you know, we did some research. I was like, oh, my gosh, you probably get that a lot, right?
Oh, yeah, all the time. That's the running joke with Coach Joe Stevenson at the gym. He's always calling me different Asians. He's like, oh, we're learning the Japanese necktie. Matt should be very familiar with this.
Wait, is that Joe Daddy Stevenson?
Yeah, he's our jiu-jitsu coach.
Oh, dang. That's awesome, man.
Tarek Safadine, welterweight champion for Strikeforce.
I know you have Tarek,
Joe, Dan, Sam. So, yeah. There's a lot of talent there.
What a killer group, man. No, that's awesome. All right, Prince, we're going to end off with our favorite segment. We are going to have the fight on site. Fight on site. And this week, Matt, you may know, but every week we put up two fantasy fighters against one another. We do it, and then we ask people to come onto our Instagram stories on Saturday where we'll put the two fighters up. You can vote for your winner. And what we try to do is, you know, every week we've been lucky enough to have a great guest. So we try to have it tie into the guest somehow or tie into the topics that we're talking about. So this week, Matt, we knew that you were like this, but we also were tying it into the whole Connor thing. We are having our Fight on Site Respectful Edition. So we're picking two fighters who are respectful fighters, who are good people, you know, like that's the kind of people we want to put up. Prince, who wants to go first?
Actually, you know what? I think I sent you first, so I'll go first this time.
Okay, go ahead, buddy.
All right, so my my fighter for Fight on Site is the one and only Randy Couture. All right, so the reason why I picked Randy is, again, everyone knows Randy, very respectable fighter. He's always been there for, you know, he's always in there actually, you know, supporting sportsmanship and always, you know, he's all about the respect, right? And you've never seen him talk trash about anyone, any other fighters. He always goes in there with a smile on his face and like, hey, good job, right? And a part of it also is that Extreme Couture actually has a foundation. So the Extreme Couture G Foundation was founded by Randy and Kim Couture to honor the veterans of America's armed forces. The foundation was specially formed to raise money and awareness for those wounded in action and their families. So big shout outs to Randy. So he's actually a big advocate, and he's actually served in the army. I think he was in the army for, I think, 6 years. And yeah, so he's always been a big part of that community. So shout outs to Randy. Tim, who you got?
Man, I did zero research for this, Matt, but I picked a fighter who, when I've heard him on interviews, I've been always very impressed because the character that he portrays in the cage is different than what he is outside. So my fighter for respectful fighter, Mike Platinum Perry. Don't laugh at this. Yes. Hold on. So when you listen to this guy on interviews, he's always the most... All right.
I'll get to go with him soon. I can't help it.
No, I'm telling you, I know he's a crazy animal in the cage. You know, he goes around with a mohawk and he's insane and he brings no corner with him and he just brings his wife, you know. But when you listen to him on interviews, when it's not fight week and stuff like that, he's a very like intelligent, calm guy. He speaks with the utmost respect to the people that's interviewing him. He's a really good guy. It's totally unlike what you would expect. Like, you think this guy is going to be like high energy all the time, but he's not. He's very mild mannered almost. So almost. Yeah, no, he, I don't know, but from the way he portrays on the interviews, he's a mild mannered guy. I like him, you know, follow him on Instagram. Even his Instagram now is pretty calm. It's just him with his wife and his child. And, you know, he does a lot of interaction with the fans. This is a pretty cool guy, man. He hasn't had the greatest luck lately in his fight. So I do hope that he turns it around, man. But yeah, that's my pick.
You know why I laugh? It's just because a picture of him, Matt, you just see him going, "Dah!" Right? Most respectable fighter. You got Randy's like got a suit on. He's like, and he's like, "Ah!" Yeah.
There was no picture of Mike Perry with a suit on that I could find. So that was,
I'm sure.
Yeah. I even looked at his grad photos. I couldn't see one. Now at the end of at the end of the episode, Matt, we're going to do what we call our fight on site, fight in sight, fight simulator, where we put the two fighters up. So Prince, take it away.
All right. So for my pick, my avatar to represent Randy Couture, we've got
Hua. Oh, it is Thing on a sticker on a straw, Matt. This is high tech. Look at that sticker. Beautiful.
This is millions and dollars of research put into this machine. So
practical effects.
There you go, baby. Yeah. CGI at its finest. And for Tim's fighter,
for Mike Perry. Oh, I get a female. That's great. I get Captain Marvel. Excellent. Now, Matt. Prince, you want to tell him what we need from him?
Matt, I think you know what's going to happen next, buddy. We're going to make these guys two fight, and we're going to need you to put some of the sound effects. All right, buddy?
Some sound effects?
Sound effects. Let's go. Let's hear it. This could be another talent for yours. All right? Let's go.
Yeah. Down with the patriarchy. And all the right. Thing emerges.
So victorious. That
means Randy Couture.
Randy Couture. Now, that is not a guarantee that he will win, Matt. Again, we need people to come to our Instagram on Saturday to vote. So that wraps up the show. Matt, we were so happy to have you, man. I'm sorry that we've interrupted your training for this nonsense. But
I'm going right after this.
Are you? All right. We know you are going to do amazing, Matt. Again, anything that you'd like to say before you go?
So are you doing a poll for Randy versus Mike?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. On Saturday.
All right. Add this for me, just because it's a fight I really want to see now. Ilya Topuria versus Arnold Allen. I think that'd be a great fight.
All right. Well, wait. Now you've got like some serious asks of me. I got to write this down. All right. That's the guy. Ilya is the guy that fought this weekend.
He just knocked out Ryan Hall.
Yeah.
And then Arnold Allen coming off a win over Sadiq Youssef.
Nice.
That's a great fight.
All right. We will put that up and see what the fans believe. I mean, boy, though, that Ilya really showed how to get rid of those roles, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
Really, that was brutal.
And what we're going to call it, it's called Matt's Fight on Site, just for you, Matt.
Hey.
Oh, no, Matt, no, the Kessels. Kessels Fight on Site. Don't get it twisted.
There you go. Right. All right, Matt. Anything else, Matt? Anyone else that you want to thank or say goodbye to?
Thank you to my whole team. Thank you to Dedicated Tattoo, Perfect Tan, Temecula, Jin Sushi, everybody out here that's local companies supporting local fighters. So that's really it. Thank awesome, you guys man. For having me on, of course.
Hey, of course, buddy. We're so happy to have you. Guys, if you are in the San Diego area or anywhere close and you can get tickets to Epic 46, go there now. Get your tickets and go out and watch Matt kick some ass, man. Matt, we're so happy to have you. We want to see you on here again, especially when you turn pro. We want to be there to support you in that endeavor as well.
Hell yeah. I'm always ready to come back here.
All right. Prince, anything you want to say, buddy?
Again, Matt, thanks again. And you know what? Good luck. And when you turn pro, it's going to be here, your first interview. And guys, actually, so before we go again, you can subscribe, follow us at Fight Inside Podcast. You can follow us at Fight Inside Podcast at Instagram, and you can listen to us at Fight Inside Podcast. And if you want to be a guest, you can email us at fightinsidepod@gmail.com. Thanks a lot, Tim. Thanks a lot, Matt. Have a good day, guys.
Have a good one.